This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We're going to change now gears and focus on the announcement made by President Cyril Ramaphosa on urgent measures to, while one, reduce load shedding in the short, in the medium term, really, because this announcement that people can now, or companies can now, increase the generation, embedded generation projects from 1 megawatt to 100 megawatt is not going to see the light of day tomorrow. So we know it's not going to solve load shedding as we know it now. Whether you think we're on stage two or we might wake up on stage five tomorrow, whatever it is, we just don't know. But it's an important announcement that will see the amendment of Schedule 2 of the Electricity Regulation Act to increase the NERSA licensing threshold for embedded generation projects from 1 megawatt to 100 megawatts. So, President saying this intervention reflects our determination to take the necessary action to achieve energy security and reduce the impact of load shedding on businesses and households across the country. This is a move that will see some businesses self-generating, particularly those that are high consumers of energy, like your smelters and the mining sector and some in manufacturing. And it's some people are heralding this as a breakthrough, because the Minister of Energy, of Mineral Resources and Energy, Minister Gwede Mantashe, had announced during his budget vote an increase of the threshold to 10 megawatts, and he was criticized because industry was asking for 50 megawatts. It seems like they've gotten double what they need. But I have a guest in on the line, chairperson and co-founder at the Black Energy Professionals Association, Madam Tlhari. Good morning. Welcome to Power Talk.
Good morning, Lucano. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for making the time for us this morning. Let's just start off and say, when you heard this announcement, what was your first reaction?
So my first reaction was we were very excited. As you know, the industry has been asking for all of this. We all very excited in terms of what has been happening at Eskom. And the amount of delays that it took for actually the licensing to happen. Us as a company, we have recently, as Matlaku, we recently announced one of the first wheeling agreements ever signed, which was for Amazon, which was a 10 megawatts. Mm. I mean, that licensing took us over a year to obtain.
No,
so we were very excited that projects like this one can be unlocked.
Mm. Now, I mean, Meta, when we are looking at projects like this, just take us through what type of, you know, generation activity are we going to be seeing? So are we seeing it, or is it only for renewables, or we can see some people who have the ability to use baseload such as coal also being able to do that?
I think we are going to look at more of the renewable type power projects because, as you know, I mean, it's been recently very difficult to fund the coal IPPs. You know that the Department of Energy before had announced two coal power projects, which were later, I mean, scrapped or nothing happened because most of the funders actually pulled out. And it was also very difficult to get the environmental approvals on those. So we are looking at mainly solar PV and maybe some wind projects that are going to be coming out. I don't know whether we will be seeing 100 megawatts soon, because as we all know, I mean, a 100 megawatt project at the current prices of $75,000 per megawatt, you're looking anything in the region of over 1.1 billion rands. So that will actually take a lot of innovation, because, you know, the normal IPP projects that happen, they happen on the back of what we call a government guarantee.
Yes.
So then the normal, an IPP in the private space will not have any government guarantee.
Yes.
So it will have to be backed by what they call a parent company guarantee. There's not a lot of companies in South Africa that can actually guarantee on their balance sheet a 1 billion rand project. So I'm not looking at many of those, but then I'm excited about a lot in the region of 10, 20, 30 megawatts. I mean, a 10 megawatts project will be just over 100 million rand. So those are the kinds that we are interested in. But then they will be mainly in the renewable space. Mm. And maybe we can see something, and maybe it will be an opportunity for the gas market to be also to open up as well.
Well, that's interesting that you bring the gas market. I'm going to come back to that because there's been a lot of, chatter about gas entering the energy generation space. Now, just give us a picture, perhaps. When you talk about 10 megawatts, what, how much can it fuel up? Let's say, what kind of an operation can comfortably say, if I've got 10 megawatts, I can operate at the greatest optimum levels and I will do my work as best as possible?
I guess when you're looking at this, for us, for example, we're going to be powering the Amazon data centers.
Mm.
Like a data centers, they usually take up a whole lot of power.
Mm.
So at 10 megawatts can power a huge data center. And from a household, you're not going to be finding residentials. But then it's a lot, but then still not that much. We've seen at the 10 megawatts can also run a plant of a mine as well.
Yeah.
A one particular mine you can also run on a 10 megawatt. So 10 megawatts is a lot. That's why I was saying 100 megawatts is on another level.
If we were to talk about levels, it would be.
We are excited that he made it very possible for us,
yes,
for those companies, because there are those big mining companies that were already in the process of actually licensing about 70, 75 megawatts projects. As we've recently seen, Sasol also came out into the market with 600 megawatts. Sasol is a guzzler. With a guzzler, but then they were going to be broken up into chunks. It was not going to be just one 600 megawatts plant. So when you're looking at those kind of megawatts, you're talking about the likes of the Exaros,
yeah,
the Sasols, and all of those kinds.
But Meta, for this to have significant input and contribution to the energy generation mix of our country, how much uptake needs to be there from the private sector?
The private sector has been already crying, and I think for example, now, for let's say you have the 2600 megawatts that has been released out,
yes,
of the risk
the emergency procurement,
yes, and then you have also the round 5 also coming out. You can have I don't know how many hundred megawatts you can have, but then, let's say 20 megawatts, if you're having about 10% of the sector creating this for them, it will really go a long way. And this is actually very exciting when you also look at the recent amendments from the regulator of the pension funds,
yes,
around the Regulation 28,
yes,
which actually increased the amount of money that pension funds can now invest in infrastructure.
Yes.
So this is now opening up. Now there's going to be an open up of this. There's going to be a need of this money. Us as Matlaku, we've recently launched our energy fund, which is also 1.75 billion rands.
Mm.
So we are excited that there's going to be opportunities for a fund like ours, which is black owned, to actually play in the space. Obviously, with the deregulation, we are looking forward to making sure that transformation is still at the key focus point. You cannot have all of these things and you're having the big companies not making sure that black people are also still included. And one of the key things that we also need to be looking at is will be around the issue of localization. And one of the hot topics in South Africa is land. Whose
Absolutely.
Land is going to be used? the land topic is a very big topic. And when you're talking about this project, is land becomes very important. How are you going to make sure that communities are also involved and they are not left behind. I mean, we're excited when Sasol also released their RFP. They actually made the requirements that 51% of the ownership needed to be in black hands. So we're hoping that we can see more of those.
In fact, you are now touching on the issues of transformation that are so important. I do want us to engage on those, particularly on what are you hoping the T's and C's will look like of this? Because it really does open up space, but there's this great fear that it may favor a big, monopolistic, established businesses, which are by nature generally white-owned.
One of the things as the black energy professionals we've been looking at when we gave a whole talk and a submission to the the IPP office, which releases the RFPs for the independent power producers market, in terms of having, even now we're now saying to the market, let's look at who is developing this project. Are black people, are local people developing this project? Who is funding this project? What are the equity requirements out of this? And are black people able to play? And not only black people, remember, we are looking at South Africans, because when South Africans are also crowded out by international player, it is actually not also beneficial for the country. And we're also saying, what the issue on localization. How are we going to make sure that through announcements like this, there's going to be that requirement for the private sector to make sure that they are developing the industry so that South Africa is able to be a push point for that, for us to locally manufacture products so that they can be also for importation across Africa.
Just please hold the line. I want to take a short ad break, but I do want to come back to this point because it has been raised, particularly with the solar energy sector, as to what is happening with localization there. The line is 0861-987-000. My guest is Chairperson and co-founder, Black Energy Professionals Association, Meta Mhlari.
You're listening to Power Talk, 9 a.m. to noon.
Well, indeed, 21 minutes past 10, we are dissecting the announcement by President Cyril Ramaphosa that's going to have massive impact in terms of energy generation, saying that the NERSA licensing threshold for embedded generation projects must move from 1 megawatt to 100 megawatts. It seems as if a lot of opportunities on the horizon. Business certainly excited, but some commentators a bit skeptical. My guest is Meta Mhlari, chairperson and co-founder, Black Energy Professionals Association. You can join in on 0861-987-000. I think let's go back to this localization issue you are raising, because it features a lot also in the government's economic reconstruction and recovery plan, so to say that we need a more localization. But we have seen some of the appointed providers, independent power producers in the different bid windows, especially on solar, being European-based companies, which means that they will probably source much of their equipment and other related inputs from Europe itself. How do we make sure that in this new dispensation we turn the tide?
I guess, you know what, government, when you talk about localization, government has to take the lead from that perspective. What has happened and what has actually delayed the localization is on the perspective that the rounds, there was such a long time between the different rounds which were being taken out to market. So we need consistency, because you cannot have a government taking out something and somebody builds a factory based on a particular offtake, then that offtake is not there in the next year, because this factories need to have constant demand so that they can be running. But then we're excited because there's also one program that the government has actually announced and is going to be soon be released to the market, which is called SIP28, SIP standing for a strategic integrated program under the presidency, 28, which is a PV, which is a resource efficiency and renewable energy program that would look at a renewable, making sure that all government buildings are actually also renewable. So government, when the president announces, they're not only just putting it to the private sector, they're also saying as government, they're also going to be joining the call of helping the current state of Eskom. And in that particular program, they are going to be pushing to support local manufacturing. And also in the new round five that was released, there was also a lot of call, and the requirements for localization were also put as high. We were disappointed when we saw in the RMIPP when a lot of bidders actually applied for exemption from the localization, and then it was later given. I mean, if we are serious about localization, we can't be doing that, because we know some of the people who were supposed to bid, who knew that they could not also meet those requirements, actually stood back, and some of the bidders who actually were going to meet the local requirements bid a bit of a maybe a much higher tariff, and they were disqualified or could not win because of that higher tariff. And we need to be serious. And when you're looking at the whole thing about GDP, and when you're looking at the multiplier, and sometimes maybe at the beginning, we as a country, we must be willing to pay a little bit of a more higher price for our locally produced products. Because when you look at South Africa Inc. as a whole, South Africa, from a you benefit more from the local manufacturing, even if I had to pay maybe 1 cent or 2 cents more.
And I think, but Meta, the tragedy of that exemption was then that these companies started making all sort of promises that we don't even know if they will fulfill, of, you know, some socioeconomic investments in the areas where they'll be operating. But we've seen that story before in the mining sector, where people make these commitments but never follow through because they know that there's not going to be much punishment.
Agreed, Lucano. So a government needs to be strict on this, and especially on this RMIPPs. And also, I mean, I believe our South African industry and businesses are very much aware of this. And as government, with the, even when government has, remember, you no longer need a licensing, but then it still needs to be registered.
Yeah.
So we are looking at the final version of the amendment to Schedule 2, which will be published, I think, in 60 days.
We were promised in 60 days. Some people are already doing the countdown, saying that it's day 59 days to go. Let me just go to the line quickly so that some of my callers can put some quick questions to you, Meta. Sifudi, good morning.
Morning to you. The unintended consequences of this venture. We know it's contrived, and the jobs of those who are presently working at Eskom. Eskom is experiencing liquidity challenges. This is contrived that Eskom must fail, and the privatization. Do we have the surety that being fed electricity, being sold to municipalities out of spaza shops will be sustained, and we'll get better pricing? Because, you know, there's no, the Competition Commission is dead and buried, and history has taught us that privatization in South Africa signals a death knell to the consumers, the poor, in terms of getting electricity.
Sifudi, let's leave it there this morning. Good morning to you. Thank you very much. Milton, good morning.
Morning, guys. Yes, I just want to, just a quick comment, you know, because really, South Africans are not going to benefit anything from these procurement rounds of energy, specifically if we are going to allow foreign-owned companies to win this bid. Because what's essentially going to happen? They're going to procure all the things, all the components, all the BOSs from foreign companies. So actually, we are exporting jobs, because we are creating jobs in those foreign countries. And these companies, the revenue that they're going to generate is going to go to foreign companies, increasing GDPs of those foreign countries.
Okay,
so
Milton,
South Africa, really,
I get you loud and clear. Let me get my guest to respond. Meta, I mean, these are clear concerns, and some have been saying, you know, Eskom's greatest debt burden is at generation. Will this not risk, you know, collapsing that new divisionalized company, which will only focus on generation at Eskom?
I disagree, because what is this is doing, like I told you, when Eskom goes and borrows, the debt is on South African balance sheet. You and I, our taxes actually stand for that debt. When a private company goes and borrows, the debt is on the private company's balance sheet. not on the country's balance sheet. So what it does in the meantime, while Eskom is sorting itself out, it's getting actually the companies to take over the burden that Eskom is actually not able to supply you with the much needed electricity. The cost to the economy of a lack of electricity, the cost to the economy of load shedding is way, way more. But then I agree with your speakers in terms of we need to be careful. We must make sure that the jobs stay in South Africa. There's local manufacturing. South Africans are the ones who are participating in this project. South Africans are the ones that are owning this project. That one we must not let go of.
Okay.
And in terms of a pricing point of view, remember, they're not these private companies. Why would you go and buy something from someone at a more expensive price if I can go and get it cheaper from Eskom?
Mm.
So that means, I mean, if then the private market is able to be cheaper than Eskom, then that means Eskom will have to sharpen themselves. But then if the private market is not able to become cheaper than Eskom, then that market will also not be able to flourish.
Meta, let's leave it there this morning. It's all I have time for, but I think we need to have a follow-up conversation on this because the pricing issue is going to be quite interesting now that people are not necessarily, you know, generating to make sure that they sell to Eskom. But thank you for making the time.
Thank you very much.
That is Chairperson and Co-Founder, Black Energy Professionals Association, Meta Mhlari.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.